Welcome to the Iron Basketball Podcast, the Pick Control Podcast. I'm your host, Zach Harper. Matt Moore, as Tara Reid says, happy Easter. Don't eat too much candy.
I need to eat candy to keep my energy up this weekend.
It was a draining weekend. There was a lot going on. There was a lot of upsets.
I was tired about an hour after the Rockets game ended. I was writing something and fell asleep on the couch while I was writing it, but...
That's always a great feeling when you are writing an actual kind of time sensitive thing, and then you realize you've just woken up, and the sense of panic of, did I send it in? Did I just start falling asleep while writing a bunch of like slurs? Like, what am I doing?
Exactly. I don't know why you would. Are you a racist in your sleep?
I mean, some people have weird dreams. I don't know what to tell you.
Some people. but very exciting weekend. Five road teams, five lower seeds win game one. That's a big deal.
I thought for the most part we had like, I thought we had six really good games. Like maybe the Bulls game and I can't even remember the middle game yesterday. It was
Heat Bobcats.
That was good for parts of it until Al went down.
I thought that one was good overall. I thought Memphis. Oklahoma City was only good for a quarter, so.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe switch that one with the Thunder game. But yeah, it was fun. You know what's also fun? Coaching changes.
Not fun for Mike Woodson.
No, expected though.
Yeah, I mean, I had a hard time being all like, whoa, because it's like, this has been coming since January. That was my thing this morning. Is like, is it January? Am I in some sort of time loop? Like. Why this? You know, it's still amazing to me that he lasted the season. That in and of itself is something to be really proud of.
Sure, the fact that he didn't get fired during the season.
Exactly. You know, he held on there. He was like an American Gladiators on the jousting thing. He one foot, and yeah, he's just hanging on.
Yeah, hung on, and eventually got eliminated, but still hung on.
Yeah, you know, it's gonna be Kerr. It just is. Like this is not one that's.
Yeah, the reports are that. That Phil wants him and that Kerr wants the job. So let's just announce it tomorrow.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's really necessary to drag this out. Kerr's been talking about he wants a coach on every podcast he's been on for the last 2 months.
Right.
Like, this is not, you know, he's made it very clear and Phil's going to want someone that'll run the triangle and Kerr will run the triangle. And
yeah, I guess I don't know. I mean, I don't know what kind of coach Steve Kerr will be, but I think that I said this on radio sometime this weekend of, I don't know if it's a good hire, but it's a good thing to have the front office and the coaching staff of the same mind. And you don't always have that. I would say you don't often have that around the league. That's why we see so much coaching turnover. But with Phil Jackson and Steve Kerr together, whether it's a great pairing or not for the roster they have or the roster they will have, I do think it's very important to have a singular mindset throughout all of the decision-making, both on and off the court.
Did he kill me a good coach?
I guess so. I mean, I it's hard to know with guys that you don't really have a basis on. Like, I guess he was okay GM. Like, he kind of screwed up 7 seconds or less and maybe ruined their chance at a title with that group. But also maybe that group had kind of run its course. Like, it's hard to know. But, like, do we know whether Mark Jackson would be a good coach or not? Do we know that Doc Rivers, you know, a decade and a half ago was going to be a good coach? Like, with those guys that don't have – really a coaching background, it's kind of just a shot in the dark. Like even talking about college coaches becoming NBA coaches, it's, you know, would Fred Hoiberg be a good coach in the NBA? I have no idea. I literally have nothing to base that off of. Some people think he would, so I guess so. But
whoever his agent is does and has been telling everyone. Right. So
but yeah, I don't know. Like I don't know. I don't have any inclination that Kerr is going to be a bad coach. I guess that I could say that.
Progress. Moving on up, Nick.
Put that on the media guide.
I don't know if he's going to be a bad coach.
What do you think? Do you think he'll be a good coach?
He's a smart guy.
He's a very smart guy.
And while I still look back at his decision to trade for Shaquille O'Neal as GM of the Suns as catastrophic, I think he's a really smart guy that the players will respect. He will understand how to rest their bodies. He always has a good appreciation for the smart things. Like he talks highly of Popovich, and part of that's because he played for the Spurs. But he also, I guess here's the thing. He talks up the two franchises he used to play for in the Bulls and the Spurs a lot. But a lot of that is also because I think that what they do resonate with him, getting guys to play hard when they do play and resting players for the long term.
Yeah, accepting roles, like knowing your lane, all that stuff.
And he's not he's never made a disparaging comment about advanced analytics, so I have to believe that he's going to be open to it. He'll use them effectively without overdoing it. I think he'll be a guy that players feel like they can talk to and that they can relate to.
Right.
Outside of that, you know, I mean, he knows X's and O's. So that's
He knows. I mean, he knows basketball. He clearly knows basketball. I think it's a whether or not he can motivate guys consistently, which I think it's easy to motivate guys early when you're a new coach, but that's been the most impressive thing to me about Steve Clifford with the Bobcats. And it's only 1 year, but there was never really a lull with them, right? Like, they've all bought in, whether they've had the talent to execute stuff or not. And with Kerr, can he have that kind of instant success with the Knicks if he takes that over?
They went down 18 yesterday and kept fighting
the Bobcats. It seemed like every time he called a timeout, they went on a run or they rallied. Like, he would call, he saw something bad happening, he'd call a timeout. If he had, I think I saw somebody on Twitter say this, I can't remember who, maybe it was Britt Robson, but like, if he had 30 timeouts in this game, they'd be, you know, it'd be a 1 point game at the end of the contest because he made an adjustment that worked after every timeout.
Well, Laura Seed should get more timeouts. That's how it should work.
Oh, hoop idea.
Hoop idea. And then Minnesota, and in your fair town, there's news this morning as well.
Yeah, Rick Adelman has decided to retire. He's going to remain on as a consultant, which I don't know what that means, but I'm sure they'll be like, hey, Rick, what do you think of this guy? And like, yeah, he can play.
Yeah.
I think that's what the consulting will be. Don't fire my sons. I think that's what it'll be. But Adelman even said, like, it just got tougher. You know, the stuff with his wife last year really impacted him on a personal level, and maybe he couldn't give all he could into coaching. You know, they had some real problems with injuries over the last couple of years and depth issues, and he just didn't have enough answers for them. And they were successful, they made huge strides under him, but it wasn't enough, and you know, he stepped aside probably when he should.
Congratulations, Timberwolves, you killed the career of Rick Adelman.
Yeah,
you killed his will to fight.
That's exciting. That's an accomplishment. Maybe can we hang a banner for that? We got the division crown banner up there. There's also maybe we can hang it next to the full moon that's up in one of the corners.
So here are the list of guys that they're talking about that made the short list: Hoiberg, Izzo, Billy Donovan, and then I just heard this from the same person. I'm gonna probably bet that a couple of other reporters have heard it from. That they're still deciding today whether or not Flip's going to go down and take it.
I think if they were close to being a not just a playoff team, which they're close to being a playoff team, but if they were close to being a title contender, I think Flip would come down and coach that team. I think because there's so much there's so much inconsistency, and they're not really, like, you don't know that, hey, they're one player away from making the playoffs next year. Like, I don't think you could possibly know that. I think that will keep Glenn Taylor from allowing Flip to take both possibilities. But I think if 2 years from now Love is gone and they've got, you know, they're starting to rebuild a core, I could see him, you know, canning the next guy and taking over from there.
He doesn't. I don't think this is a good idea.
For him to coach?
Yeah.
Oh, it's a terrible idea. You can't do both jobs. You just can't. Not with today's CBA, not with today's league. Like, there's not enough time and energy to devote to both jobs. And with, I think Doc technically has both jobs, but I'm not sure how much he's actually doing the front office position. Maybe if the idea is Milt Newton takes over the majority of Flip's executive duties and Flip goes and coaches, maybe then it could work. But I do believe you need someone a step away from the situation to evaluate what is going on the court as an executive. And I don't think Flip could do that.
You never want someone that watches guys in practice and is influenced like in that making decisions on contracts. That's a bad combination.
Yeah, awful combination. And I don't know that he can coach in today's NBA. Like, a lot of the stuff he was successful with before the rule changes really took effect and teams started adjusting, that's all stuff that's normal now. And it was quirky and it was innovative when he was doing it with the Timberwolves and then a little bit with the Pistons. But for the most part, like, I don't think it's an advantage his style anymore. We saw that in Washington a little bit, but they also had a terrible situation in terms of player development and leadership within the organization. And maybe that's his fault for not taking leadership of that organization. But I'm not sure that he would be a good coach in today's NBA.
Good times.
Yeah, great times. Like this weekend of playoffs.
All right, you want to go through them one by one?
Let's do it.
Okay, so we started off with Nets Raptors. No clock. Time stood still. Time is a flat circle.
Yeah, no, that was weird. We had, don't worry, I'll bleep this out. We had Brooklyn, and then we had no clock for a second half.
The best part about that is how like Nets fans have reacted. Like they're like this braggartly GM up there, and like everyone that's ever met Masai Ujiri is just like, he's like the nicest, most polite human being on the face of the planet.
It was a weird thing because it was him.
Yeah,
and there's no way. There better not be a single, I didn't even look because I couldn't bother, but there better not be a single column talking about how inappropriate and how unprofessional he is and all this stuff. Like, there can't be. Like, you can't be that big of a troll. You can't pretend that you were offended by that in any way. There's just no way. Like, I'm sure some jackass did, but like, this is 2014. There are too many people that would say the exact same thing about Toronto for no reason, just because there's a little competitive fire. If anything, it enhanced it. It enhanced the entire situation.
Yeah, it's great. It's good for the league. It's wonderful.
It's like Paul Pierce hitting big shots and screaming to the crowd, like, this is why I'm here. Like, that stuff is great.
Weird game. Very. Like a lot of them. Weird game in that the Nets couldn't hit a three-pointer and still won.
Also a weird game in the fact that they had a guy yelling horn every time the shot clock had expired.
3, 2, 1, horn.
That's my favorite. I wish they would replace the current buzzer with horn. I really want that to be a thing.
See, you get inventive. Like, every arena could have a different one.
Yeah.
Great. Although the Heat one might be really obnoxious if you get the PA guy. Can you imagine the PA guy was involved?
Horn up!
2 seconds! Dos!
Dos segundos? That's probably not seconds in Spanish.
It's probably not.
I just probably said some awful racial slur.
Again, with the accidental racialism today. To me, the heart of the Raptors is DeMar DeRozan and Amir Johnson, and those guys sucked on Saturday.
Amir was especially ineffective.
What happened to Amir Johnson?
That seems like it's a matchup made for him too, right?
He should kill them.
Yeah. That was shocking to me. Like, DeRozan, I thought DeRozan just didn't take enough shots at the rim. I think they need to get him stuff going toward the rim and not let him settle for jumpers too much. But I understood why he still got to the free throw line. Like, I understood why he struggled, but Amir just didn't make any sense.
Only played 21 minutes, just didn't, Jonas murdered him on the offensive glass. If Amir had been involved, a lot of them that Jonas missed, Amir would have cleaned up. But just wasn't engaged.
Yeah, it was fun to see Jonas play that way, too. Jonas was a monster.
Everyone's like, oh, KG, like, he really came back. Like, no, Jonas kicked KG's ass in that game.
I love KG. I want him to be so good still. I thought he played well defensively. I'll say that. I thought he played well defensively. He looked old. It doesn't mean he can't be effective, but he looked old. He had a much better second half than he did a first half. But it was – there was a – that plus minus had more to do with Paul Pierce on the court than it did with KG.
I also love – I was really impressed with Gravis Vasquez, who again gets back in the playoffs and is like, no one thinks I'm any good and I don't care.
Yeah. He can ball. He's been so good for this team. And they actually are exceptionally better defensively with him on the court, which I think is mostly just a lineup thing. But he's turned into kind of a backup point guard, like your prototypical backup point guard pest.
Yeah.
Like he's going full court. Like, he's not a good defender, but he's at least the effort is there and he has a specific role and it's fantastic.
Patrick Patterson's gonna need to play a lot in the series if Amir doesn't get his head on straight.
Ooh, he had that one stretch that ended up tying the game. Like, he was fantastic. I want to ask you this question because this is what people immediately jump to, like, oh, inexperience. But I didn't think it was Toronto's inexperience that hurt them. I thought it was Brooklyn's experience that helped them. I don't think it means that Toronto was inexperienced. I think just the experience of Brooklyn got them through that game, and I don't think it had anything to do with these guys not being experienced.
I don't think it was experience. I think it was – I think the energy of that city and then that environment was so high, it kind of wiped them out a little bit. They were jittery to start.
I could see that, yeah.
I don't think that was necessarily – because part of it is Kyle's done some stuff in the playoffs, and Vasquez has been in the playoffs, and Salmons has done a lot in the playoffs. There's a lot of inexperienced guys, but I feel like there's enough, you know, at some level, you get into it, it's just like, all right, this is just a high intensity basketball game.
Right.
It's tougher, it's different, but it's just playing basketball. But I do think they really came out and were shell shocked from how intense the moment was. And I don't know if that was like, holy crap, the city really expects us to win. Like, this is a big deal. Like, this is actually – like, I play for the Toronto Raptors, and this is actually a big deal.
Right.
Because to be perfectly honest with you, every time that they've rolled through Denver and I've gone sent to the locker room, I have two observations. One, they really like each other. Those guys love one another. They're always talking with each other. They hang out. They're very close. But two, they always kind of seem like, oh, this is great. Like, we get to get paid, and we play for the Raptors, so there's really no expectation. Like, it's fine. And now it's like – no, like, the city's really excited for you. Like, the city's into it, you know?
Yeah.
And I think Ujiri's got me that way too, because where he's like, all right, I didn't trade you when I had the chance. That was the other thing about the F Brooklyn thing is like, yeah, F Brooklyn, let's go, team that I very much thought about detonating several points during the season.
I mean, he would have had anybody offered a first rounder for Lowry, we would not be here.
Yep.
Well, no, you and I would still be in our respective spaces, but but not. Yeah, it wouldn't have affected us. This isn't like a butterfly effect thing. None of us are Ashton Kutcher.
Pierce was awesome. Yeah. Joe Johnson. It's always interesting when you think you have an idea of how big guys are, and then you see them in relation to other guys. Like DeMar DeRozan, I'm like, that's a big guy. Like, he's got real length on him. And then Joe Johnson posted him up. I'm like, oh no, Amir's like Shaggy from Scooby-Doo.
Yeah,
like,
Joe just looked like, I mean, Joe looked like he had 30 pounds on him.
Yeah.
He just looked like a bigger, like just a big guy. He was great. I loved seeing aggressive Deron Williams. Please more of that. I don't know if his ankles can allow him to do that, but my God.
Yeah, where the hell did that come from?
Yeah, that was fun. Like, that's the Deron we've wanted, right?
Yeah, that was what killed. And then, of course, you and I got comments like during the game, like, oh, yeah, who's irrelevant now? And I'm like, if he played like this,
right, we wouldn't have said that.
Wouldn't have said it.
I find it very hard to believe he was just sandbagging for 82 games.
Kind of hard to buy into.
Like, good for him. I'm glad. I love an aggressive, good Deron Williams. He's one of my favorite players when that's happening. But we haven't seen that much the last couple of years.
So, F Brooklyn. Also, on my part, F the officials for that second game,
dude. I mean, you know, like we've talked about this a lot. You know me. I am not someone who harps on officials. I'm just not. I was furious watching that game. They ruined what should have been an amazing game. Completely ruined it.
Blake Griffin plays 19 minutes in the 3:30 game.
And Jesus, like, his fouls, Iguodala's fouls, Jermaine O'Neal, like, these fouls were just bad calls.
Like, Blake reaches in trying to get a rebound, and that's where he
picks
up his stick.
What was that? What was that? It was an awful call.
And like, they were bad all over. It's not like it was like, oh, they really screwed the Clippers. Like, no, they were terrible everywhere.
No, and that's the thing. Like, there were, like, the big one became like the missed call that they admitted should have been a foul. And I agree, it should have been a foul. But it didn't necessarily cost the Clippers the game. I don't think the officiating cost them the game, gave the Warriors the game. Had they won, I don't think it would have cost the Warriors the game. Like, it was just bad officiating, and it ruined what was a pretty cool matchup.
Well, it's hard for me to come to any other conclusion. Like, this is my problem, is I'm like, all right, well, let's look at this. Are the Warriors doing what they did last year? Like, are we in another one of these situations? And then I'm like, the differential from Blake Griffin off court to on court, guess the number.
Oh, I mean, it had to have been close to double digits, right?
Per 100, okay?
Per 100, okay.
44.
44?
I'm not kidding.
I would have guessed like 12. That's what I meant when I said close to double digits. Jesus.
Like, no, yeah, they per 100, they were like minus 21 with him off court and plus 29 or something with him on.
Man, And that's the thing. I don't know, like, good or bad for either team, you can't take anything from that game one other than the Warriors are up 1-0. Like, you just can't. Like, it's great that Draymond played well. It's great that Barnes stepped up and hit big threes. Klay had a great run in the third quarter. You know, David Lee played well, but I don't know that any of it means anything. Just like I don't know that Chris Paul's 28 points, I don't think that means anything. I'm not sure J.J. Redick's points mean anything. Like, because I just don't think that you can take anything from that game and feel like you have a handle on what happened. Like, it was just the officiating screwed it over.
Here are the actual numbers. The Clippers were minus 21.7 when Griffin was on the court, or was on the floor, on the bench with foul trouble, okay? Minus 21.7.
Okay.
And plus 22.5. With him on.
Oh my God.
That's raw. That's not 100. That's raw.
That's crazy.
It's unbelievable. They were plus 34.6 per 100 with him on the court.
Oh my God. Like,
and he annihilated Draymond, which was their big advantage because yep. Lee and Draymond wound up, like, their plus minus numbers were terrific. And a lot of that was because it, like, that lineup worked. Like, the small ball approach worked if Blake Griffin's off the court.
Right. Yeah. And maybe the Warriors still win that game if Blake and Iguodala get actual minutes on the court and aren't marred by foul trouble, but you know, who knows? Like, I don't know. I thought, like, that game just sucked. That game sucked, and it sucked because of the officials, and I would be furious if I had spent money to go to that game. I would be absolutely furious.
So that another weird thing, the Warriors won on the road when Steph Curry had more shots than points.
Yeah.
What the hell?
He didn't. And of all the fouls that are called, he didn't take a single free throw. That's weird.
Just a bizarre game.
Yeah. We had a 2-minute stretch where Hilton Armstrong and Maurice Spates were on the court together. And it was a 1-point game at that point in a playoff game. That's weird.
Kind of weird. I didn't feel like Chris Paul played very well.
I felt like he had really good stretches, but overall, yeah, I think he kind of just accumulated stats.
And then Darren Collison played unbelievable defense on Steph Curry in the fourth quarter and then stepped out of bounds and erased all of it.
He sure did, man. You know me. I love Jamal Crawford. I wouldn't say he had a good game.
You're going to go out on a limb and posit that one, are you?
We did get a few minutes of him going against Jordan Crawford, and we had a couple possessions where they guarded each other, and I had no idea what to do. It would have been like watching your two children have a sword fight, or like some kind of duel. I was like, I don't know who I want to win.
The Hunger Games, starring the Crawford guys. 2 of 11, man.
Ugh.
JJ looked great, though.
JJ looked fantastic. Playoff JJ is legit.
Yeah, man. DeAndre Jordan played well, 14 rebounds.
Yeah. He controlled the rim too.
Five blocks.
Yeah, he was great.
I don't know. You want to see game two tonight? We'll see. It's. I'm really intrigued to see how this one kind of plays out. Like,
yeah,
is game one, especially because of Mark Jackson's whole post game, basically no one expected us to be here rant, where I'm like,
I agree with him. I don't think anybody expected him to be there. I think they expected them in the 4 seed.
Yeah. Like, it's also like no one expected us to be here winning one game in the NBA playoffs. Like,
well, we should be good tonight because Tony Brothers is officiating the game. So we're in the clear.
Help us, God. The Pacers are trash.
Ooh, you know me. Right. Not one to overreact, but that looked bad.
It was like everything we talked about on Saturday morning with, you know, they should win. But man, you know, Perovantage, if they go 5 out, that could be really problematic. And then the Hawks went 5 out immediately.
And Frank Vogel, I think you're an excellent coach. You have got to put Paul George on Jeff Teague for the entire game.
Yep.
George Hill cannot stay with him. Evan Turner cannot stay with him. Like, Paul,
he's going
away
from the screen every single time.
Like, pound the ball inside. Take advantage of Hibbert and West as much as you can to conserve Paul George in the first half. Put him, let him put all of his defensive energy in the first half to Jeff Teague, and then let him like kind of unleash on offense in the second half. Like, you cannot afford to have George Hill out there, or put Lance on him. I don't even know if that's a good idea, but it can't be George Hill.
It's really weird because the Heat goes small, but the Pacers can play small ball versus can stay big versus Miami's small ball, but they can't stay big versus Atlanta's.
Yeah,
that's problematic. Like, they really need a stretch four.
And and look at it, like, only 6 of their 101 points were on the fast break. They didn't run this team at all. This was all half court execution where the Pacers are supposed to shine.
Yeah, and it was just. Most of the starters, like, that was the thing. It was like, yeah, most of the Atlanta starters were bad. Damari Carroll was amazing.
Ooh, he was fantastic.
Some of it, I'm kind of like, Carroll's a guy from Missouri, so he was on Memphis. Like, I know Damari very well. Good dude. Not taking jump shots off the dribble and nailing him like he did in that game,
no,
kind of guy.
No.
But sure, had his game. That's cool.
I'm also going to suggest that Lance Stephenson not take 18 shots.
You're just full of hot sports takes.
I'm no coach, but I just, let's cut that in half.
Paro, Damari and Millsap were plus 12.
Wow.
Yeah.
And Millsap was fantastic as well.
And it was bad because, Hibbert said post game, and like the quote was like, the big headline was, "I'm the weak link defensively," which
right.
sounds really bad, but more he's trying to say is like, I can't guard guys at the five. Like,
yeah.
I can't guard guys on the perimeter. I can't do that.
Yeah. I don't even know how you would do this because they're such a good outside shooting team. Is there a pseudo zone you can go with?
I think there is, but I don't think they're prepared to play it.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably not ready for it, but like, you got to keep Hibbert down low. And that's what you talked about when we talked Saturday morning. It's just like, Paro out there on the perimeter could give problems. And I mean, you were dead on. Like, you've got to find a way to keep Hibbert at the basket if you're Indiana.
I'm not even kidding. I know that he's inexperienced. I know they don't play him much. They got to go to Copeland, and they got to go to him now.
Completely agree.
Like, if they can try the first 5 minutes of game two and see what happens. But if Antich is hitting and they're having problems, they've got to go small ball. They have to go small ball with Copeland at five and put Scola at four and just basically be like, all right, we're going to concede to Millsap.
Yeah.
That we'll live with.
I also couldn't believe how bad Scola was. Like, he missed his first few – I mean, he didn't hit anything, but he missed his first few jumpers, and it looked like he just kind of, like, shut down.
Yep. And then, defensively, he's lost such – I remember he was so good at rotations that he just doesn't have the foot speed anymore.
Yeah.
He just doesn't. And the big problem there is the Pacers' defense with the pick and roll, I thought going into it, I was like, oh, well, the Pacers should be able to shut him down. And I didn't think this through enough because what the Hawks did essentially was they said, no, we know if we go through the pick and roll that they're going to get a switch and they have the length to bother Teague and shut him down. He's never going to go over the screen. He's going to reject the screen every time.
I would like to know the percentage of times he rejected the screen because it felt like 90.
And that's how he murdered Hill, is Hill kept jumping
yeah.
as part of their scheme and pick and roll. And every time he was like, you did it again. Oh.
And,
got me again.
And no offense to Teague. I think he's a better shooter than he showed this year, but he's a 32% shooter from 3-point line. Like, make him take those shots and make them.
Yeah.
Like, you gotta play that so much smarter.
So they can recover. They could be fine. They lost Orlando in game one 2 years ago.
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. They can absolutely, and they kind of, I think Hibbert or maybe somebody else kind of called this like a must win game, which, hey, no pressure. You guys are a team that's been unraveling for months, and now you're putting the pressure of this is a must win for us. Like, I get it, like it is kind of, but I wouldn't go out and say that. Maybe it's a motivational tactic.
I like how lost in the desert of misery, David West is still plus four. Like, no matter what happens,
right?
Like, nope. David West is good.
I thought even he and Paro Antich went face to face. I thought, oh, I've always wanted to see what the Rampage video game would look like in real life.
I said on Twitter, I was like, oh, Paro, you don't want to – well, no. David, you don't want to – everyone dies. Just everyone.
I had a lot of comments of, oh, Peck's got to be the special guest referee.
So that wasn't ideal. Oklahoma City came out very much with an intent to send message.
Yep.
They do this – the third quarter made exact sense to me, though, and that's why everyone was flipping out. Like – flipping at it. Kevin McElroy of Knickerbocker was like, and Harvard Paroxysm was like, the Thunder are digital and the Grizzlies are analog, and everyone's like, well, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, guys, serious. It's bad when I'm the one saying don't overreact. That's a bad sign.
Right.
Like, you're in the weeds then. Like, calm down. It's going to be okay. You know? Like, they may lose in five, but the Grizzlies are not going to get blown out in four games, I don't think. Now, I didn't think that they were going to get swept in the Western Conference Finals last year, so sometimes I am blind, but I wasn't surprised at the second half run. The Thunder came out with an amped-up crowd, facing a lot of criticism over how they finished the season, and a lot of questions in general about their season, and they came out with a ton of energy, play exceptionally great, and then things went back to where they're going to be, which is Memphis is going to keep hitting him.
I honestly didn't think – I didn't think after the first half, I didn't think Memphis would make a run in this game, especially not the way they did. I thought, all right, they'll get their teeth kicked in game one, and they'll come out and either win game two or make it a down-to-the-wire affair, which, you know, still might happen. But I didn't expect the third quarter to go the way it did, but I did also didn't think, like, oh, this is it. This is your series. This is, you know, they're never going to have a chance against it. Like, this Memphis team is pretty good, and they've been together, and they know what to do.
You know, and they ran out of gas, and that's true. Zach Randall getting hit with his fourth or fifth foul, I forget, whichever it was, that broke the run up. That was kind of weird because everyone's like, well, they were going to run out of gas anyway. And I was like, they could have lasted a few more minutes. If you can last a few more minutes, then you really got the Thunder up against. You just blew the lead. Like, you have to actually blow the lead.
Right, and maybe they start getting in their own head about, like, you don't know how that would have gone. I agree. It's likely Memphis runs out of gas and just crumbles, but you never know with the psychological aspect.
Like, I have to reiterate this a million times. The Thunder are going to get a ton of calls. I can say that the Thunder get a ton of calls. I'm not being biased. I'm being factual. I'm not saying it's unfair. This is what they do. This right. team is amazing at drawing fouls.
Right.
Like, that's just what they do. I'm not frustrated. It's frustrating to watch as a fan because you just feel like every call is going against you. But then I step outside of it, and I'm like, this is what they do. Like, this is what happens. Memphis has to have the game called a specific way in order to get the advantage. And if it's called mid-level, they can hang. If it's called tight, they can't win. Yeah. That's just the reality of it.
Thunder did a great job. Most of this happened in the first half. Thunder did a great job of quickly turning defensive possessions into points. I think they had 32 fast break points in that game. Yeah, 32 fast break points in that game. Like, they really did. Once they got a stop, they were right down your throat.
I was a little surprised that Tony Allen has much success against Durant as he did.
I did too. I kind of thought those days were over.
And he's still – a lot of it's because for whatever reason in the playoffs, they are not calling stuff when you go over the screen and hook the arm as much.
At all. I was shocked. There were so many plays where I didn't think like KD was getting screwed. I was just surprised they didn't make a call.
Like, that call always comes, and Allen tested it early, and then it's like they kept getting away with more and more. And Allen's like, if you're gonna let me, I'm just gonna chew his arm off.
Right.
You know.
what do you expect in game two?
Ooh, it's tough. You know. There's so many like games that stand out in my head, and I keep wanting to compare them to Grizzlies playoff games of recent past. The problem is you get into a lot of trouble there because it's the Thunder aren't that team. Like, the Thunder aren't the Clippers last year, where
right.
the Clippers won game one convincingly, and then really game two was when it became – I thought it was like a dagger. Okay, you tried your best and it wasn't good enough, and instead it was, no, we battled them and figured them out in game two, and that's how we kind of took the advantage.
Yeah.
I took the Grizzlies – to spoil what we'll get to tonight, I took the Grizzlies at +7. I think it'll be tighter.
Yeah, I like that.
I think it'll be tighter. I think OKC still wins. The question I think is going to be, is Memphis going to be able to steal game five in OKC to force game six? That's one that's hanging with me because I don't think Memphis is going to win both of them at home.
Yeah, I think it's fair to expect the Thunder to be up 3-1 in the series, however it happens.
Yeah, and then you know, Royce took them in five, and that makes a lot of sense. Like, if the Thunder get them on the ropes in down 3-1 at home, are they really going to lose that game?
Yeah, probably not.
But I don't know. So I don't think – I'll tell you, I will say this. I'm not going to be worried about Memphis being destroyed in the series until game three. That's what I said that in the first half of game one, and I'm going to stick to it. Like, until they get down – if they're down 20 in the third quarter of game three, okay, this is done.
Right, yeah.
You know, the Thunder are better. The Grizzlies pass their expiration point. The end.
Yep.
You know, and then Memphis can figure out what it wants to do in the offseason. But
yep, I agree with that.
Until the third quarter of game three, I'm not going to I'm not going to make any sort of judgment. Even if the Thunder were to go up 3-0 by winning it close, I wouldn't necessarily count Memphis out of forcing it to six.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I think a lot, and that's kind of the difference between, one, the Thunder followers I have, and two, the Grizzlies followers I have, is I know Oklahoma State is going to win this series. They're a fan. It's not being better than Memphis. That's different. The Thunder are an exceptional special team. You know?
Yeah.
Like that's a whole other level. And that word special has been banging around my head all weekend. Like, they're a team. I think that's what we saw a lot this weekend. The three teams that won at home, who were they?
We had the Spurs, we had the Heat, and who was the Thunder? Thunder, yeah.
Spurs, the Heat, and the Thunder.
I'm gonna go out on a limb and say those are your three favorites.
Yeah, and those are the three teams that won. So it kind of shows you maybe a little bit the gap. Now the Clippers, again, I will kind of give some leniency to, because again, Blake Griffin should not have fouled out that.
Who knows what would have happened?
But still, the fact that those three, and so that's where I come down to on Memphis, is that Oklahoma City is really special.
Yeah.
Sunday.
Sunday action. Easter action. Spurs beat the Mavericks by 5. I was personally shocked that the Mavericks made such a good game of it. I mean, it wasn't a good game, but it was necessarily. But it was tight. I expected the Spurs to roll in the first game, and you know, whenever Tony Parker and Tim Duncan wanted to do things on the court, they did them, and there wasn't much resistance that they could offer.
I've gambled a lot of braggadocio on talking about the fact that I don't think this Spurs bench is as good as last year's, which Spurs fans find to be the most objectionable thing I could possibly say. If I said Tim Duncan was overrated historically, that somehow would piss them off less than me saying that this bench isn't as good as last year's, and I still believe it. Game one is way too early to make that evaluation, and I said this morning, they could have a really bad first round and then get better, because it's kind of always been the opposite, where their bench would kill in the first two rounds, and they'd be like, they can't keep up with us, our bench is amazing, we've got starters on our bench, and then the Western Conference Finals come and they struggle. So it could be reversed this year, but that was really, to me, the story of game one, was Dallas shut down the Spurs bench. They couldn't use their depth. Like, Parker and Duncan had to carry them.
Yeah, and I was shocked that Carlisle just did a brilliant job of kind of tricking, I don't know if tricking is the right word, but like kind of tricking the Spurs into doing more one-on-one stuff, more pick and roll without passing. Like, there weren't a lot of passes in that game. It was a lot of, hey, we've switched a big out on Tony Parker. Oh no, what do we do? But you're not giving up threes in that situation.
Yeah.
Like, and it was kind of a brilliant game plan that almost worked.
I mean, here's a comparison. Okay. And you, by the way, this is another reason for you to jump on the Hawks bandwagon. The Spurs had 17 three-pointers in game one, okay? Yeah. They attempted 17 three-pointers and only hit three.
Yeah.
Okay? The Hawks attempted 18 three-pointers in the first half versus the Pacers.
Yeah. And I think they went, what, like 11 of 30 in that game?
Yeah.
And so, and also, the Spurs, a lot of their scoring came off, you know, free throws and one-on-one situation. They only had 14 assists on 35 made baskets. That is not Spurs-like at all.
Yeah. Now, this could have just been like a blip, and they get back to what they're doing. And honestly, I think it was really damaging that the Mavericks had a game. They were up 10 with 7 to go. You have to win that game.
Yeah, especially on the road like that. Like, you could deliver such a big blow.
Like, they win that game, and all of a sudden, like, that's a shockwave that goes through San Antonio. Like, that would have really been like, whoa, what happened? And it wouldn't have affected Duncan, and it wouldn't have affected Parker or Ginobili, but guys like Bellinelli and guys like Tiago Splitter and guys like Patty Mills would have been like, well,
yeah,
you know? But it didn't, and they melted down. And Monte didn't have a good game.
Yeah, Dirk didn't have a good game.
Again, another weird one, right?
Like, yeah.
Kind of some weird performances. Yeah, Dirk looked hurt. That was my big takeaway. When he missed that bunny underneath.
Yeah, that was kind of like a uh-oh.
Yeah. Devin Harris was great. When Devin Harris is your leading scorer, you're probably in trouble.
You're probably not winning a 2014 game, especially not in the playoffs.
Yeah. Unlikely. And God, Marion 4 of 11, Nowitzki 4 of 14. And they held the Spurs to 43% shooting. Yeah, this was a defensive game for the Mavericks.
I mean, even like Calderon, who, yeah, he got shredded on off or on defense, but he didn't hit shots. Like, he was 3 of 9.
That's the only way he can be out there.
Yeah, he's got to hit shots. I mean, I think he's a good matchup for the Spurs or for the Mavericks against Tony Parker on offense, just because Tony can't come down and swipe or rotate that quickly. You have to hesitate leaving Jose Calderon. You have to make him pay, and he didn't do that.
Samuel Dalembert, ugh.
He's atrocious. He's just not a good basketball player.
Why is Brandon Wright not starting? What has Brandon Wright done?
I think they're just afraid he's going to break in half. You can't play Brandon Wright too many minutes.
He played 27. Like, I don't – like, what has he done to deserve third billing amongst the bigs? Like, DeJuan Blair gets in this game before him.
Yeah, that was weird. Thank God they only played him, like, 4 minutes, though.
Come on. Like –
Heat Bobs.
Josh McRoberts killed Birdman Anderson.
McBob is like a he's a sneaky decent player.
I love him so much. He's so much fun to watch. Like, he hits threes, he makes great passes, he cuts hard to the rim, and he dunks.
Yeah, he runs the floor really well. I mean, you knew this wasn't gonna hold up, but before Al Jefferson apparently ripped something in his foot, you know, they just look good. He looked dominant early on. It was a real short stretch, so who knows how long that plays out. But they look so good right away, and I don't know that the Heat were kind of ready for that. I think the Heat knew that they could weather whatever, you know, pumped up young team was going to come out there and play well. But it did seem like they were kind of smacked in the face right away.
Like 23-19 Charlotte in the first quarter, 23 all in the third. They lost the fourth quarter by 4 points. They got outscored by 11 in the second. And that was it.
Yeah, that was it. And, I mean, James Jones had 12 points. That's weird.
I love that Spo does this. I don't know how he does it. I don't know if they just keep those guys in cryostasis like Demolition Man. But, like, they come – he pushes a button and they can just come out, murder, death, kill.
Yeah.
He didn't use Mike Miller at all. That's the really weird part is everyone's like, Mike Miller couldn't even play in the regular season for the Heat last year. Can he play? And then he came in the playoffs and was huge for them. And he turns around and plays 82 games this year for Memphis.
Yeah.
You know, James Jones, I really expected him to be a big part of the rotation this year. And then he was gone. I was like, well, I guess his career's over. Nope,
just waiting for the playoffs.
I feel like Spoelstra just should have, like worn a t-shirt to the post-game presser that said, you didn't really think I was going to play Rashard Lewis, did you?
I know single game plus minus has its extreme flaws, but I feel like Birdman's plus minus is always correct. It's always indicative of what he does in the court. Because even though he got killed by McRoberts, they are such a different team with him on the court. It's amazing. It's incredible the impact he has.
Yes, but he got killed by Josh McRoberts.
He did get killed. I mean, it is unfortunate he won't be with us the rest of the playoffs. There's a memorial service tomorrow.
Kevin played great, shot 6 of 15, but still I felt like he had a really good game.
Yeah, he was sloppy with the ball with the 6 turnovers, but I thought he attacked.
That happened with the Heat, though.
Absolutely. You know? I thought he attacked really well.
And you and I talked about this. Jeff Taylor, man.
They need him.
They just had Jeff Taylor. It just sucked. A lot of it also is funny because you can just tell that – you can tell that Clifford kind of had to go down and make decisions and was basically – look, if LeBron's got the jumper going, we're going to lose. But if we play him for the jumper, we're also going to lose. So let's risk it with the jumper.
Yeah. Wade was awesome, by the way. I thought he was.
Oh, I love it when Wade has those games.
He looks like he's taken a lot of time off this regular season.
He looks rested.
He looks very well rested.
I always think it's weird that people think that he can't – that he's done.
I think he's fine. I think he's a superstar until he bumps knees with somebody in the playoffs, and then you're going to have problems and have to deal with the treatments and stuff. He'll still be able to come through in certain games, but he's really, really good until he hits that knee against somebody. That's what it's been every year.
I wrote this last year, and I'm going to have to write again this year. It's age and injury takes away your consistency. It doesn't take away your ability.
Yeah.
He's going to be, you know – now, I think this upcoming contract is going to be a disaster for the Heat, and I think they know that and just have to, like I think that Pat Riley's like, well, we're probably not going to be good in 3 or 4 years. Like,
oh, just wait. LeBron, Wade, and Chris Bosh will all take $10 million a year, and then Carmelo will come.
There you go.
That's what's going to happen.
Will that help, though? No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
Who would you rather have, James Jones or Carmelo Anthony?
Really, when you look at it. You know, this is probably going to be a sweep, especially the injury. Like, Al's in a boot this morning.
Yeah, if if Al didn't get Hurthwaited, I would stand by, like, I think the Bobcats win a game. I think this has gone from a gentleman sweep to just a sweep.
Yeah. Give them one, Miami. Come on.
All right, Wizards Bulls.
I love this game.
Nene, my God, what a bully!
I know that's a regular season award. I know that he was very deserving. I know that he had a lot going on. I really do feel bad for him, and thoughts are with him in this tough time. It's a little funny that Noah's gets announced as winning the Defensive Player of the Year award the day after Nene completely destroyed him from everywhere, just obliterated him from all corners.
Mm. And especially that's Noah's holiday.
Like,
I mean, Easter. He loves Easter eggs. Loves them. He'll put a bunch of Easter eggs in a bowl, just consume them. He loves them.
HP's doing super overreactionizer today. And I just said, and somebody just snuck in the lineup on Twitter last night, which is, Blazers smoke rocks on 420. Man, just props to Randy Whitman. I don't know what he did, but
I think he got out of the way.
You know,
no, just, they looked ready to play.
And I don't. This is the one that's going to tempt me to overreact the most.
Yeah. Well, I think this roster and this, like, these core for the Wizards, it's just so likable.
Yeah.
Like, you want them to succeed. And no offense to the Bulls, but I would love for this Wizards team to advance and get to a second round and get that experience.
It took me a little while, honestly, because, you know, kind of the regular season, you kind of get dulled to it, and there was the Bulls, especially late in the season, were just these darlings. Like, everyone loved it. Like, Howard Beck wrote this expansive feature on why you should root for the Bulls for Bleacher Report. Like, our own Ken Berger did, like, this massive feature on Joakim Noah. Like, all this kind of stuff. Like, they are the darlings of the media because the columnists love a team that plays that hard and overcome the Rose injury. And they can't score, man. They can't do anything offensively. Like, looking at this roster, I am just blown away by how bad this roster is offensively. Like, once I actually started to look at it, I was like, holy crap. Like, their second best scorer is Jimmy Butler, who's a 40% shooter.
Yeah. And I am shocked that DJ Augustine went 3 of 15. I am just shocked.
I imagine you eating your dinner at that time. Like, imagine it's like a a frozen dinner, and you heat it up, but you're eating it like with a knife, and just interesting.
Salisbury.
How provocative. These peas are delicious, and this hungry man.
I can't wait for the cookie.
Heinrich does not need to be taking 16 shots. No. I'm one of the biggest Heinrich supporters in the league. That dude does not need to be taking 16 shots.
No, not at all.
Interesting little tidbit here. So everyone loves Taj Gibson. Everyone hates Carlos Boozer, but Gibson only got 6 shots up in 29 minutes and 45 seconds.
Yeah.
Not going to create his own offense. Like, and eventually it just became, you can't just get the offensive rebound every time. Eventually the Wizards are going to figure out what you're doing.
Eventually, let's box out.
Like, that was really the turnaround, was the Wizards, you know, everyone's going to be like, well, Andre Miller, yeah, he had 10 points in 14 minutes and it was great. I always find it amazing that Andre Miller is a point guard that comes in and only scores and doesn't dish. Like,
right.
Makes no plays, just drives and scores.
Right. He used to be good for like 8-9 assists a game for years, and now it's just like, this dude is taking shots.
I'm gonna get mine and get my contract, and that's what I'm gonna do.
Yeah. He passed for too long. Now he's gonna eat.
But really, it was just they stopped letting the Bulls get the offensive rebound every time.
Yeah.
So again, I gotta peel back because I have this temptation to just freak out and be like, the Bulls can't score. Will the Bulls score? You know.
I mean, I felt like this during the Nets series last year, right? Like, it was just like kind of like, how are they going to score? And they figured it out. They also were held by the fact that the Nets just didn't have any motivation, so that definitely helped them. But there is that thing. It does feel like when you doubt them the most to be able to score, you know, assuming they're not going to face, like, the Heat or whatever, that's when they kind of do just figure a way.
Interesting question. John Wall 16 points on 14 shots, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 3 turnovers. Did John Wall have a good game?
I actually think he did. I thought he managed the game really well.
Okay.
I don't think he had a great game, actually. I think he had a good game. I just think he managed it well.
And I'm on the other side of the line where I'm like, I don't think he had a terrible game. I think he could have been better. I think he could have been a little bit more aggressive, and I think he's going to have to – a lot of it is you have to put your head down and just accept the fact that you're going to get hammered and be like
– Yeah, I agree with that.
You have to also kind of – I mean, I don't know. It's weird because you don't want to give up turnovers because it's an easy way for a team that can't score to score. But on the other hand, I think you kind of have to be like, I'm going to dare you to make a play. I'm going to split this double, and then I'm going to get to the rim. I'm faster than you.
Yeah.
But just really impressive win for Washington. Good for them.
And then game of the weekend.
Whew! Whew!
You got to take a cold shower after this.
Dame,
LMA, Wes Matthews.
That falling away three-pointer that LaMarcus hit with whoever it was up in his grill space. Oh, Dwight. It was Dwight.
Yeah.
And then Dwight turns around and does the Jake DeLome when he threw the 6 interceptions.
Right.
Motion. Duh! Horse feathers! Just unbelievable. And then, like, Beverly on one knee knocks the ball out of bounds off of Lillard. Lillard comes back the exact next play, takes him to the rim, scores, and one, yeah. Fouls him out.
Oh, that was just – and then thankfully – well, actually, I don't know thankfully. I really think they're doing some serious damage to Patrick Beverly. I know that there's no new damage with the MRI allegedly, but that doesn't mean the old damage is gone.
People have said this, that he still feels like he doesn't belong and he has to prove himself. And I just want to be like, God, you're going to get paid, man. Like, it's going to be okay. If you can't walk, you probably won't get paid.
Right.
Especially because I don't know. I felt like Lin played really well, too.
Yeah, he got roasted a little bit on defense, but I thought overall he had a pretty good game.
Well, I mean, here are the numbers. Beverly on court, Lillard shoots 6 of 13.
Yeah.
So a little under 50%.
Yeah.
Him off court, Lillard shoots 3 of 6.
Yeah.
So it's a little – there's a differential there, but it's negligible. You can survive it.
Yeah.
I feel so bad for Terrence Jones. He had such a good game until the fourth quarter.
Yeah. That was a good matchup for him. He really excelled. He did an excellent job.
And then LaMarcus Aldridge.
Murder.
46-18, 2 assists, 2 blocks, 17 of 31 shooting.
He had hit, and this was the thing. I don't know if I talked about this with you or maybe it was with Aaron Cerrone on a video, but I said, yeah, he's great in the mid range, but he's got to score at the basket. He was 12 of 16 in the restricted area. Like, he got his points at the paint.
Yeah. I thought Wesley Matthews was fantastic.
He was great.
Both ends.
Yep. He's quietly, like, one of the best role players in the league.
And he was 1 of 7 from 3.
Yeah.
Like, again, you look at this and you go, man, he could have had a bigger game.
Yeah.
Dwight's another one. 27 points, 15 rebounds, 4 blocks. 9 of 21 shooting, and he fouled out. Did he have a good game?
Yeah, I think he had a good game. I think he, you know, the hack of Dwight stuff is just, I think you got to live with it. I don't think you can hide from it. I think, all right, they're extending the game. Like, it's a strategy that's working, but you can't have that. You have to encourage him in those situations, right? Like, it doesn't mean he's going to make more free throws, but he has to remain confident that you want him on the floor and that you want him a part of that team in those situations.
I'm truly shocked that Harden only had 10 free throws.
I am too. It felt like more.
8 of 28 from the field.
3 of 14 from 3.
They got to get more from him.
Yep. Got to get more
great.
From him.
He was great in the fourth, and he was great in overtime. But
yep.
They got, and then, I don't know, like, I grabbed the screenshot, and some people say that he couldn't have made the pass, it would have been stolen or whatever, but he got locked up by Batum with some great help defense from Freeland, by the way.
From Joel Freeland.
Yeah. Great rotation. And he had Parsons in the far corner. It's a gamble, I still feel like you need to probably make that pass as opposed to trying. He's not tall enough to go for like the Dirk fadeaway.
I'm waiting for Joel Freeland to get into a fight in a game just so I can use the term Buckingham Malice.
It's coming.
It's coming. I know it's coming.
Put that one on your bingo card. People went nuts when I tweeted Game of Thrones last night. I thought that one was just like a pretty basic one. I was like, oh, somebody had
it. I actually don't think I've seen that.
And then like it went ballistic. I was like, all right.
there's a new one.
I'm sad because Myers Leonard didn't play, mostly because Blazers fans' nickname for him is Lemons, which I love.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is going to be a fun series.
I hope it goes seven. I really do.
How it can't. Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, you can't look at that game as badly as the Rockets played. They still, like, with respect to their best players, they still were in a really great position to win. And it took a Dame frozen rope three-pointer and then a tip-in, like tap-tip-in from Aldridge.
Yeah.
Just to send OT.
God, if you're the Rockets, like, you just can't lose that game. Up 11 with, like, 4:50 left or whatever it was, 4:45 left. You can't lose that game at home.
Four-point play. That was, like, that was the start.
You just can't. Like, I'm not saying, like, oh, they're done now, but you cannot win. You cannot lose games like that.
You get 27 from Dwight, 27 from Harden, and 24 from Parsons, and you lost.
Yeah.
Not ideal.
And you got, I mean, you got 14, 6, and 4 from Jeremy Lin. Like, that's a good game. That's a good game from a reserve guard.
Yeah. Okay, tonight's games.
Got two of them.
We got two of them. So we talked a little bit about Grizzlies Thunder. It's Thunder -7. You know?
Yeah, I like that Memphis +7.
If you're Memphis, how do you get Zach Randolph going?
I mean, it's basic. I just think a lot of cross screens and try to get him as low on the block as you can. I actually don't want him facing up all that much. I just want him to be a bully. Like, if he's going to face up, it's got to be a quick attack off that face up. It's got to be a turn, a jab, step, and go.
I've been trying to tell people this. The big differential in this series from last year's and really the year before's, or the time they met before in 2011, is Serge Ibaka.
Yeah, he's just so much better.
Ibaka be able to cover him now.
Yeah, he's just so much better now.
That's a big deal because Perkins can guard Gasol and it's okay. And yeah. Perkins actually can guard Zebo pretty well too.
Yeah, I thought he did a pretty good job. I'm with you. I think the Thunder win, but I think it's close.
This has been bothering me because I've kind of accepted it. I was like, oh, Memphis, you know, Memphis doesn't hit jumpers. They had no one to spread the floor, blah, 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 blah. But I've kind of been like, they play Mike Miller and Courtney Lee together. Why can't they spread the floor?
Conley's, you throw those three out there on the perimeter, like, that's a good perimeter attack. You should be able to spread it.
That's just got to be, that's got to be systemic. That's the only thing I can come up with. It's got to be systemic.
Yeah.
And I don't even know that it's like a broken system. Like, they know what they're doing. It's just, for some reason, it's a virtue of how their double post sets come up.
Yeah, it's just odd.
So Tayshaun got sick in game one. He's going to play Tayshaun, and it's going to drive me nuts. It's going to make me crazy.
I mean, clearly you have to get as many sick children to cough on Tayshaun as you can.
And I hate it because I really thought that he could fit in well in Memphis. I thought that he could.
I think he has, for the most part. He's just not that good anymore, you know?
Well, if he could just hit the corner three, if he would take the corner three, it would be a start. But if he could just hit the corner three, that's the big thing. Like, that's all you have to do as a stretch forward is just hit the corner three.
They just miss coupons so much.
Yeah, they really do. That's a massive game changer for them.
Yep.
But yeah, I like the Grizzlies to kind of keep this one close, but Thunder win. I think the question is going to be whether or not this is a put the fear of God game in the Thunder and everyone be like, well, they're up 2-0, but that was close.
Yeah.
Or if this comes across as, no, like they're up 2-0 and it feels like they're up 2-0.
Yeah.
Warriors-Clippers. Curry ain't shooting bad again. It's not happening twice.
No. What's the line?
It's Clippers -8.
Ooh. That's a lot of points. I mean, I guess I feel like if the Clippers are going to win, they've got to come out, make a statement, and really blow them out of the water. And, you know, not saying that small sample is going to hold up, but let's assume Blake Griffin plays 35 minutes in this game. Like, that should give them a big advantage. I guess I'll go Clippers to barely cover this. Like, I'm going to think it's a close 9-point game.
I think the Clippers blow them out.
They should.
Like, I think Griffin gets pissed off because Paul was talking to the media about how, like, Griffin, I don't know, I didn't really get this either. Like, Kevin Ding wrote this column, and apparently this is the vibe that it was, that Griffin was basically, or that Paul was basically like, you know, this can't happen. Like, we need Blake Griffin. Like, this cannot happen. And I kind of want to be like, Blake didn't do anything.
Right.
Like, what's he supposed to do? Like, you know, he can't make the referees not be idiots for calling touch fouls in a playoff game.
Right. I also like I do like that tactic, though. Yeah, I think you know, fire him up a little bit. I like that.
I guess, but then you're not really firing him up. You're telling him to kind of be like, be more careful, and I don't want him to play tentative either.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, because if he gets the ball against Draymond in the block, he needs to take him every single time.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Orly, really anybody except Jermaine O'Neal. And Jermaine O'Neal needs to step out, face up, and hit the jumper. So.
Oh, God. Yeah. That form.
If they can, you know, if Paul can have a normal game, if Griffin has a good game, and JJ has anything close to a repeat performance, and if they get anything from Crawford.
Yeah, they should, but also, like you said, Curry's probably not shooting that poorly again.
Like, they have so many more weapons, but yeah, and then again, you got Clay, and hey, Harrison Barnes.
Yeah, he hit shots. He's the new Robert Horry.
It's really weird because like I don't really have any way to explain it. Like, they, you know, like I bag on. I'm not overly impressed with Mark Jackson, but it's one where I don't like the process, but I can't argue with the results.
Yeah.
They just play well in the playoffs. At least they have through. You know, however many, what, 6, 12, 13 games. So, I mean, big one, though, now, because now Mark's going to put them out there as no one expected us to be here, and we're going to prove everybody wrong. Everyone thought Steph Curry should retire.
I just can't wait. I can't wait till they go home for game 3. He's gonna, no one expected us to have a home game in game 3.
Right? Okay, who's any other coaches fired this week, you think?
I mean, it's only been a year, but Larry Drew should be out.
Oh. Yeah, kind of hard to argue, actually.
Yeah. But no, other than that, I can't. Nobody. Oh, well, Monty Williams, maybe.
Yeah, Monty's the one I was always going to say. I think there's a good chance.
He should probably go.
It's not so much that that there aren't reasons to excuse what's happened. There's just not a lot of reason to retain him. That's the issue.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Back at it tomorrow?
Back at it tomorrow.
Thanks, man.
Thanks, Matt.